Shalom Baruch Rav, the Masech is Bo B'Matzir, Dav Kuf Aleph. Today's Dav discusses a tree versus a field owner and how they would divide the property in there. We discuss the case of a river replanting my tree in your field. We discuss Yishuvah Yisrael working a goy's field. We discuss if I plant something in your field, if I build something in your property without your permission, getting my materials back, and we discuss when one must give his tenant an eviction notice. I had to finish off the last mission at the end of a Kuf Amud Beis. We said that if both people say they don't know, we give a Yachloiku Psak, they divide it. And the Gemara explains this. This is Sumchis who says that Mamon Amut Basavik, you divide it. The thing is that in the Sefer we said that if each one is Vadai, it was my Rishos, then the Moichir swears that the baby was born while it was still in his Rishus when they did the Chalipin, and he gets to keep it. Hold on. Kifi, the man, the Omar, holds that Sumchis says Yachloiku, even when they're both Bari, then why is there a Shvua? He should divide it just like when they were both Shema Veshema. The Gemara explains that here Sumchis would be Moide, since there was already a Shvua of Moide B'miktsas. We'll do a Gilgul Shvuah, and we won't say Achloiku. And you also don't say Heilach here, because you could say that the arm of the Shivcha was cut off. We begin a new mission that tells us that if someone sells his olive trees for wood, and then these olive trees actually give off some oil. So if it's less than a revius per saw, then the tree owner could keep it. If it makes more, each one katina that it's theirs. It's my tree. Yeah, but it's my field. It's my dirt. So they would divide it. If a river were to transplant a tree and put it into someone else's field, nochamol, they would divide the produce of that tree. The Gemara says, what was this case of the oil? If the owner told the guy to chop down the olive trees immediately for the wood, then the owner would get to keep the oil, because that tree was not supposed to be in his property. He was trespassing. But if he told him to cut it down whenever he wants, then the tree owner should be able to keep whatever grows from this tree, because he was there with permission. The Gemara explains that he just gave it to him stam. So less than a revius of oil coming off of the tree, he wouldn't be mocked, but on let the tree owner keep it. But anything more, the field owner is going to want that. Now, Shimon Ben Pazi tells us that when we say revius, it means the revius value minus the expenses of actually harvesting and getting out the oil from these olives. Now, in the case of the transplanted tree, Ulam Reish Lakish tells us that this is that we only say achleiku on the produce of this, of my tree that landed up in your field. That's only if it got transplanted with some of its dirt. So we don't have to start the count of Ula again. And they only divide it after 3 years of it being in your field. But within 3 years, the Baal HaZisim gets to keep it all. Because he could tell the field owner, even if you had planted this tree fresh by yourself, you still wouldn't get any hana from it for those first 3 years. It's in Ezer Arla. I could the owner say, very nice, I wouldn't be able to get hana from it for the first 3 years, but I would get full hana after 3 years. Why am I dividing it with you? Elamai, when Reuven came from Eretz Yisrael, he said B'Shem Reish Lakish that the case was where it was transplanted with its dirt, but it was within 3 years. After 3 years, taka, it all goes to the balakarka. Because he could say, I would be getting full hana after 3 years if I had planted it. Then why can't the tree owner say, you wouldn't be getting hana for those first 3 years because of Arla? Because the owner can say, even though I wouldn't be able to eat the fruit, it would be a tiny tree. And the tiny tree doesn't interfere with the rest of the field as much, and I'd be able to plant these little radishes and whatnot underneath my tree. And since your tree ended up being here, casting your shadow across my field, I lost out on planting area. Now we have another Mishnah. First you have a comment. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, oh, a psak like that, you need a Rabbo, someone very chashuv to give a psak like that. And on that note, we bring another unrelated Mishnah, which concludes with the same comment. We learned Rabbi Huda tells us that a mekabel, someone who works someone else's field for a percentage, but he gets his fields from a goy, he still has to give off Meiser from this field, from his percentage. Now, what's the Stea Voisov that he's getting from a Nochri? Pashtus is referring to a field in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Stea Voisov because it's the field of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. We're assuming that a Goy doesn't actually have a kinyan of land in Eretz Yisrael enough to patter this Mekabel from paying Meiser. So he has the din of a Choycher, someone who is working the field on a fixed rate, not a percentage. And over there, he's mamish like renting it. There's a lot more ownership. That's why he's going to be chayv meisros. If Kahana tells Rav Papi, hold on a second. We have a maimon from Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid said over, we have a brisa from Rav Yehuda that tells us that if someone has this deal on a stay avoisov to get a percentage, and he gets it from non-Jewish pirates, he has to pay meiser. Why does it have to be pirates? You're telling me that this would apply even to any random goy in Eretz Yisrael. Elamai, the first case, when he has to pay Meiser, when he's Mekabala from Nachri, I was talking about actually his father's field. And a goy really could have a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, enough to patter it from Meiser. The Mekabel doesn't count like a choycher, like he's a renter, getting a percentage. So why does this guy have to give Meiser if it's mamash the guy's field that he's working on? They're going to give him a knas. Since this is his father's field, he's connected to it, this is home. We make him be responsible for it like it's his to be Mechayev Meiser. But some random other guy, we're not going to be Mechayev. It's only if it's a stay voice of it, if it's his familial field. Knas in Rabbi Yochanan says so that he'll feel like it's mamash his, he's paying Meiser off of it, and that'll make him want to buy it back. Rav Yirmiyah comments on this. You need a rabbo, someone very choshev to say a svara like that. Next, the Gemara teaches us that if someone goes into someone else's property without their permission and plants in his field, Rav says, you figure out how much the value of these trees are versus the depreciation of the field, and the guy who went in without permission, Yodel Tachtoina, he gets the lower end of the deal. Shmuel says, you figure out how much a person would pay to have those trees in his field. Rav Papa says they're not even arguing. If this is a field which is meant for trees, then you figure out the cost versus expenses. But if it's a field that doesn't have trees in it, then you go with Shmuel, how much will someone pay plant in his field? If you plant trees there, it's very nice. He wants trees there more than he wants plants. So there, we'll go with Shmuel. You figure out how much he would pay to have those trees there. If not, he's growing cucumbers and this guy just stuck a tree in the middle of his cucumber patch. So there you have to figure out how much it cost to have an invasive tree versus how much the tree is actually producing. And the guy who planted it is going to take the lesser of the two. The Gemara points out that Rav's psak, paying the lesser of the two, he didn't actually give that over as a psak. There was a story, and he paskin l'maisa, and we learned that halacha from how he paskin. The case was, one guy planted a tree in someone else's field, and Rav said, okay, evaluate it. The guy said, actually, I don't want it in my field. Forget evaluations. Get it out of my field. He said, don't worry, we're going to evaluate it, and you're only going to have to pay him the lesser value because he didn't have permission. He says, no, but I don't want it at all. So, okay. I said, at the end of the day, they saw him taking care of the tree, guarding it off, and they said, okay, look, Rava says, you clearly want it in your field. Evaluate how much it is worth for you to have this tree, even though it's a middle of your cucumber patch, and pay him the lower amount, either his expenses or the appreciation of the field. The Gemara also tells us a case of someone who builds in someone else's churva. He has this abandoned house, and the guy goes, he turns it into this nice geshmaka mansion. And then he shows up at the owner's house and says, actually, I want my stones back. I want my wood back, my construction materials. Rabbi Nachman says, okay, he could take it back. Rabbi Sheshi says, absolutely not. The Gemara asks, hold on. This is on all machlekes b'shamay b'beis Hillel. B'shamay says, you listen to him. Rabbi Nachman's going like b'shamay instead of b'beis Hillel. The Gemara says, no, it's not just Meisham and Beis Hillel, it's also Machlekes in a Braisa, where Reb Shimon Elazar says to listen to him, Reb Shimon Gamliel says not to. So, Reb Nachman could be going like Reb Shimon Elazar. even though that's also Shitas Beis Shammai. The Maaseh, how do we paskin about this building in someone else's property? Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yochanan tells us, with a house, you listen to him, by a field, you don't let him take out his tree because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or because it ruins the field to have a tree planted and then pulling it out. It just soaked out all his nutrients. Then Afkamina would be a tree in Chutz Laretz. In the next mission, we learn that if someone rents a house to his friend in the winter months, the rainy season, it's hard to find housing, he can't evict him between Sukkot and Pesach. In the summer, you give him 30 days. In the little villages, then it doesn't matter winter or summer, you have to give him a 12-month notice. Stores in the city also require a 12-month notice. Shimon Gamliel says that the stores of bakers, they give even more credit than regular stores, or dyers for that matter. They get 3 years to hang around for their creditors to come back and pay them. The Gemara explains why winter is any different, because in the winter, the rental is for the entire winter. You're settling down until the weather gets nice. Hold on a second. In the summer also, if you rent someone a house for the summer, he gets to stay there for the whole summer. The Gemara explains that the issue is just that in the winter, you kick him out, he's going to have a hard time finding another house to go into as opposed to the summer. In the Sefer, we said that in the villages, you have 12 months. But if his rental ends up in the winter, it sounds like you could still kick him out at the end of the 12 months. He's not going to be able to find anywhere else to rent. Rav Yehuda says, no, that's talking about giving him a notice. If you rent something to your friend, stam. You can't kick him out in the middle of the winter between Sukkot and Pesach. You have to give him a 30-day heads up in the summer. Bryce also says this, that when we say 30 days, it means you have to give him a 30-day heads up, or 12 months heads up, before the official eviction. The Gemara also points out that not only does the owner have to tell his tenant when he's kicking him out, the tenant also has to tell the owner when he plans on moving out so that the owner can find a good replacement tenant. Now, Rav Asi tells us that if the end of his rental is going to be even one day into the winter, you can't kick him out. You have to wait till Pesach. I always said you have 30 days. Now that means that if one of these 30 days that you're warning him is in the middle of the winter, you can't kick him out. You have to cheshbon out 30 days before winter starts and warn him before that, while he can still find a replacement home. Rav Huna says that although you can't kick him out, you are able to raise the rent. Rav Nachman says, why is that any different than bullying the guy, hurting him? Okay, so you didn't actually grab him, you grabbed his jacket. You're squeezing him out of his apartment. The Gemara says, no, it's not that he's just raising his rent to bully him out. When all the rent goes up, all real estate got more expensive, you're also allowed to raise his rent, which will also encourage him to move out when the time is up. Now the Gemara says, if the owner's house falls down, he can tell the guy who he's renting to, I need a place to live. I need my apartment back. Why should you get to have a house and not me? It's my house, Batsim. However, if the owner sold his house or gave it to someone else as a gift, then the tenant can say, look, keep your house. Don't kick me out because you sold your house. If he gave his house to his son-in-law as a wedding gift, then if he had the ability to warn his tenant, he has to. If it was a quick runoff marriage that he didn't have time to warn his tenant, then Taka, he can evict his tenant to have a place to live. The owner doesn't have to remain homeless if he has an apartment which he's renting out, as long as the situation was unpreventable. There was someone who bought a whole storehouse full of wine, but he had no place to keep it. So he asked this woman, do you mind if I keep it in your backyard, your storage area? And she says, absolutely not. He says, I have a better idea. I'll marry you. Oh, wonderful. Mazel tov. Not sure why she went along with that, but they got married. Once they were married, he said, oh, do you mind if I keep your wine in your backyard? And she said, sure, husband. And once he had a place to store his wine, he went back home and sent her a get. She, wily woman, said, you're not taking advantage of me. She hired a whole bunch of schleppers and said, guys, if you take this wine out of my backyard and put it on the curb, you could drink as much as you like. L'chaim. They went out, took out all the wine, and now all this guy's wine was hefker. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua said, Kasher also ken yose loy gemulo yose beroyshoy. This guy got what he deserved. And it doesn't even matter if she wasn't going to be renting out her backyard and she was like losing money by keeping the barrels there. She could say, I'm willing to rent my backyard just for stores, for anything, to anyone but you. I don't like you, I'm suspicious of you, you're like a lion about to pounce, and she has the right to rent it to everybody but her ex-husband. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel finally says that the bakers or the dyers get 3-year warning before getting evicted because they give a tremendous amount of credit, and the owner of this shop has to give the baker and the dyer 3 years to stay here to collect their credit. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.